saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Saving money on your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need for keeping your outdoor power equipment in tip-top shape. Ensure your lawnmower or boat is running smooth this year. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale. View our entire selection of FVP batteries today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Tonight it's the Predators and Stars. 7 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6 and everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. This has been a tough week, and it is going to be probably an emotional night in the building, especially very, very early on. And we are asking you to help us. We're going to have a 102.5 The Game tent out in the plaza area tonight from 5 until 7 o'clock leading up to puck drop of Predators and Stars. And if you're coming to the game tonight, we would love for you to help us. We're looking for work gloves. We're looking for large trash bags. We're looking for batteries, flashlights, hand sanitizer. If you could bring any of those items or all of those items down here tonight, that would be fantastic, and drop them off at our game tent, like I said, in the plaza from 5 until 7 p.m. this evening. Plus, if you need to purchase tickets, you can get them now and receive a free or receive a Predators camo hat if indeed you do that. Elliot Freeman, every Thursday at 1 o'clock from Sportsnet, is on the line with us. Elliot, how you doing?
Not bad. How are you guys doing? That's the more important question.
Well, we are safe and sound. Willie's the only one that was really affected. He lives in East Nashville, and that was unfortunately part of the path Monday night as the team took off right from here straight to the airport to go to after the Edmonton game to go straight to Minnesota for Tuesday night. And Chase and I walking to our car probably 11 o'clock at night, leaving here the arena, had no idea, our walk downtown. We were about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes away from a destructive force coming through. So everybody's safe and sound, but now we're just trying to do our part to help. A lot of people were devastated by this. They lost everything.
I mean, you know how the league feels about you guys. Like, you guys had to endure a lot of jokes and a lot of bad comments when you came into the league, but everybody, it didn't take long till the word filtered out as to what a great place Nashville was to visit, to go spend time in. You know, I wrote this week that it got to the point that some broadcast teams and some newspapers that people would fight over who got to go to on the Nashville trip because it became so much fun, not only just because of, you know, the music and the bars, but the other things that are great to do and what a great city it is to do things in. And we've all talked about how 2017, that Stanley Cup final, was a watershed moment for the league in the sense that you realize that how you can take your culture and make it a unique part of your team's identity, how it just doesn't have to be about the hockey, although that's important. It can be a show. It can be fun. I've never had as many people reach out to me and say, if I can get down there, will you get me tickets, as I did for the Stanley Cup final games in Nashville that year. So, you know, like the hockey world loves you guys. You're a huge part of the National Hockey League. And same, like, we just can't wish for the best for enough for everybody down there. And, you know, whatever we're going to do, we're going to do to help.
Thank you for saying that, Elliot. And it's been really cool. It's why we love the sport. It's why we like or love covering and talking about hockey as much as we do on this show and getting to know these players and the league, to see the Blackhawks step up on Tuesday night, to see the Minnesota Wild and Craig Leopold and the NHL step up on Tuesday night. Now we've learned the St. Louis Blues have stepped up. But these are rivals, and yet they're willing to help. And it just says a lot about the hockey community.
Well, I mean, I'm glad to hear that people are stepping up, because if we're not there for each other, nobody's going to be there for us.
No doubt about it. Tell us your takeaways from Boca Raton and the general manager meetings.
Well, I think there's obviously the salary cap is a thing that everybody's kind of fans always want to know about that. Teams always want to know about that. They're optimistic about the projections. They were optimistic last year. It fell short, and so there's a little bit here this year of, you know, people kind of, okay, is there reason to believe in the numbers? And, you know, I think they've been working at this. You know, it's since last summer, they've been talking about doing a two-year projection as opposed to just next year, then the year after, then the year after. I think getting through the first year of Seattle and the first year of the new U.S. TV deal, just set it in advance of that and then see what the true effect of those two things are. So I think there's optimism. I mean, the one wild card in all of this, guys, right now is, you know, the coronavirus. Nobody knows what this is going to mean. We're seeing leagues overseas either canceling their playoffs or forcing them right in front of no fans. I mean, who knows what we're going to go through. It's a guess at this point in time. But other than that, I think people are optimistic about where the numbers are going to be.
The offsides thing that we discussed, by the way, you brought up the Stanley Cup final. We'd like to go back and implement that rule now in game one.
Well,
can we do that?
You know what's funny, Darren, I don't know if you were with me, but I saw Elliot after that game. I was doing my thing with Terry Crist. You did post game. I was doing my TV stuff for Fox with Terry Crist.
I'll tell you why I didn't see you, because I saw Peter LaViolette go racing by the broadcast booth to head down to the NHL and the officials booth.
That's right. But at some point,
I remember his press conference was delayed after that game.
I think it was on the elevator or at some point with Elliot. And I think, Elliot, your words were something like, you guys got screwed on that. but the point being that was a very difficult one to see. That was the Predators' point all along, that you couldn't really tell one way or the other whether the skate was up in the air or not. But that is what this does. It eliminates that. So do you think this will eliminate, or not eliminate, that's the wrong word, minimize potential controversy more so than before?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think it's a smart move. It probably should have happened 3 years ago when it was first brought up. But it's going to happen now. I do think it will minimize the controversy. Look, I think it'll, you know, fans, when they're at games, nobody wants to wait for a video review. Everybody wants the game to be, we understand there's going to be stoppages, we understand there's going to be delays, but generally they want the game to move along. And this will help the game move along. So I think it makes things a lot easier. You know, they said this year there would have been 18 foot-in-the-air reviews and 14 of them would have been goals. Anytime I think you're looking at that kind of a percentage, I think you're not being forward-thinking as a league if you don't make that kind of a change.
Elliot, there was some controversy here Saturday night when the Avalanche were in town and had a controversial ending just over 3 minutes to go. It looked like an apparent Dante Fabbro goal to tie it up. Colin Blackwell was hit with goaltender interference. They waved it off immediately, then made the call. I want to ask you, because we see this stuff all the time, and we've now seen it. And look, I don't blame the officials. I don't blame the refs. It's a bang-bang play. It's impossible to make the right call, in my opinion, with the naked eye. You need technology. We have technology. We saw technology that night and looked at it, and we all came away going, give me a break. He was pushed into the goalie. You could even make the case the puck was in the back of the net before the contact was even made. There were several layers to it that the naked eye can't see in a bang-bang play like that. And I guess what I'm asking you is, why doesn't the league tell these officials, help yourself by not make – just let the goal stand and then let it play out with the benches and then technology.
I can tell you this. Because I know, a general manager told me at the meeting that a few of them talked about that one. And I wouldn't be surprised at all in the future, guys, if that's – I wouldn't be surprised if something went out to the official to say, guys, because what screwed it up there was they called the penalty, right?
Yes.
Right.
So once they call the penalty, you can't review a penalty call, not a minor. You can't do that. And look, we all saw the play. Like, Zadorov ended up driving Blackwell into the goalie. It should have been a goal. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kind of reminder, whether an email or a soft reminder or something like that, where the officials were told, hey, if it's goaltender interference around the net, make your call, goal or no goal, and then we can deal with it after. Unless you're 100% certain that the guy runs over the goalie. That's what you can do. I guess in this particular case, he thought he had the right call. I agree with you, but I do know because a GM told me because that came up, the league was unavailable to make the change because the call was made. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see we go to, all right, goal or no goal, then we leave it up to the review.
So, Elliot, with that in mind, another thing that I've been to some of the same NHL broadcast conferences that you have where this comes up a lot.
Yeah.
One thing that gets communicated a lot to us from the fans is they wish the referees would take a little bit more time to communicate like an NFL ref would to say, here's what we had on that play. You know, this is why it can't be, you know, something a little bit more definitive just for the fans' benefit, right? Let alone the announcers, the broadcasters, all that.
There's some guys who do it. There's some guys who don't. I didn't ask, so I don't know why it happened that night, but I completely agree with you on that issue. And explanation, like, they're getting better now at sending reviews out, like, emails out. This is what the reason was. I know, like, because I've had it, there have been times I wait for a controversial call to end, and I'll call the video room and say, hey, we're about to go on air. Can you explain it? And they're really good at that. But it doesn't help the fan in the building. You're right. It should be mandatory. It should happen all the time. I don't have a good answer for you as to why it doesn't happen.
You're following the Canadian teams a lot. And of course, Nashville is in a fight with a lot of these teams in the Pacific Division in particular, plus Winnipeg, of course. What's going on with Vancouver? I know the injury to Markstrom. Like, you don't think, oh, the guy that's carrying Vancouver is their goalie, Jacob Markstrom. But really, you look at what he's done. He's done a very, very good job quietly, at least in these parts. But he hasn't been there, and all of a sudden, they're in a bit of a slump.
Well, I agree that that's the underlying numbers there, guys, have said that Markstrom's had not only a Vezina season, but an MVP-level season.
Wow.
Yeah, if you listen to some of the analytics about that team, and, you know, sometimes you have to be careful on which ones you use, but they all generally seem to be pointing in that direction, that they give up a lot of chances, a lot of quality chances, and Markstrom has been dynamite. And if you take a look at it, if I get the exact number wrong, I apologize, but I don't think they've had a game that they've given up less than three goals in since the Sedin retirement night, which was a couple of weeks ago. So Markstrom, since he's been out, that's been a huge, huge factor for them. Like they were at a point, and I before they played Toronto last Saturday, they gave up two goals in every game 7.5 minutes in, three games in a row. And of course they had that big collapse against Columbus, and last night too they're up 3-2 and it looks great, and they fall apart. So or they're up 2-1 it looks great and they fall apart. So I really think, and I thought last night, guys, they really battled. They played hard. Quinn Hughes is hurt, clearly. You could tell he wasn't right. He played. Demko was hurting, too. He didn't look right in goal, but he played. Like, they really gutted it out last night, but they lost. And I just think that everybody's got injuries, but their goalie was not only the MVP of your team, but he was having an MVP-style year, and he was covering up for a lot of mistakes.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, the author of the 31 Thoughts, and you can see him of course, on the television as well, joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock. So I noticed in your 31 thoughts that the NHL and the NHLPA might look at the five-day breaks around the All-Star. I call it spring break, but each team, you know, gets some time off each year. That's something that they added a few years ago. But the theory is it's contributing to injuries. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've been asking a little bit about it because, you know, you're kind of sitting there and you're saying there's a lot of big injuries right now, and you're kind of trying to figure out why. You know, sometimes it's just fluke and it is a contact sport, so it happens. But, you know, you play pretty hard, and then you get a big break, right? And then the five-day break plus the All-Star break, one side or the other, and then you really got to ramp it up again. And, you know, people are wondering, is that really healthy? Is that putting the athlete in the best place to succeed and be healthy? And, you know, these teams, they're really into sports science now. They kind of have this data. And I think they're saying the answer is no. Now, the players have to agree with it. This was collectively bargained by both sides, so you can't just say it's up and done. You have to agree. But I do wonder if people are going to say there's got to be a better way. You know, one of the reasons they created that five-day break was so that the players who go to the All-Star game get time off.
Right.
I wonder if there's just got to be a different way of doing it.
Another thing, too, that was up in the GM meetings was the E-Bug, the emergency goaltender, yep. Or emergency backup goaltender. Were you surprised they didn't make any changes?
I was. I thought they were going to make changes, but then somebody made a really good point. And it was the fact that, you know, that guy, David Ayers, he practices with the Leafs quite a bit. And the day after he beat them, he was taking shots from a few of them on the ice. And, you know, he said, like, if that's the guy who's facing NHL players on a semi-regular basis, who better to be out there in a game? And, you know, I don't like it when people beat my arguments with logic. Like, it's not really a lot of fun.
Me neither.
But I had to say, you know, that's a good one. Like, I got to concede that one. So I don't think everybody agreed, but I think that they felt strongly that that was good logic. And Chris King, who's a senior vice president, he made a good point. He said, look, sometimes teams will go on a 3-on-4 trip. They'll want to give their goalie a day off, and they'll say, okay, who's your E-Bug? Bring him into town or bring him to practice, and we'll use him. I can't argue with that. I think it's very fair.
Was that your E-Bup in the background, your emergency backup phone?
No, because I'm doing this interview, my wife is driving, and I think her mom called while she was on the
It's a very important call.
She's
we got to make sure.
Right now. It's pretty funny. I'm going to tell her that Nashville radio was more important than my mother-in-law. You guys
oh, boy.
We do not aim to get anyone in trouble on this show. Elliot, good stuff as always. Thanks for doing it. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Take care.
Elliot Friedman from SportsCenter. He's brought to you every week by Carrie Zier Remax Elite, and we do appreciate that sponsorship, and we appreciate Elliot being on board every Thursday. We'll come back more of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live at Pete and Terry's Tavern, Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Stars tonight, Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick. Hanging out with you. Appreciate Elliot Friedman for jumping on board. And a lot of stuff coming out of the GM meetings, Willie, as they try and, you know, figure out the salary cap and the offsides rule, which Predators fans, of course, will pay attention to. But I did think it was interesting, his comments on, you know, what transpired the other night with the goalie interference and the penalty call and how they might look at that, and that several GMs were discussing it.
Well, as we talked about, that's a classic case of the NHL and the discussions being very confusing, because you had Elliot say, and this is coming from GMs, right, that, hey, because they called a penalty, you can't review it. Then we had the league itself telling us that there was an avenue to challenge. So you tell me, is that right? I mean, something's got to be fixed there.
And
you shouldn't have that kind of confusion on something that simple.
Well,
but as he said, when this is where our main point was on that call, and there's nothing you can do about it now. But if they just don't call the penalty,
yeah,
the process would work.
Part of me, I heard Pete Weber talk about this with you guys yesterday. Part of me, to one side, says just get rid of it altogether and go back to having the human element. Okay, that extreme.
No way we're going back there, though.
No way you're going back. Part of me thinks, just be. You don't necessarily have to review everything, but be allowed to review everything. So, because what drives me nuts is when I see a ref after a call like that, looking up at Fang Vision, and you can tell they're going, "Huh, I think I missed that one," but you can't look at it. Like you can't because there was a penalty called. You can't review it. Yeah, you can't challenge it.
Yeah, baseball has gotten to where there's very few of those plays left that you can't review. There still are a couple. But the first couple of years in review in baseball, that was happening a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Wait a minute. Well, why can't you just review that? So I think that's where all sports are going. But, Darren, we talked to River and Chase, I think you were there. We talked to Steve Shaw. He used the term replay creep. So in the league offices, they're saying, well, each year it creeps further, and there's a couple more things.
Yep.
And they're very concerned about the delay that happens during games when that happens.
And I get that part of it, Willie, but I also want them to get it right. Like, I'm tired of there being a call where you can clearly see that they got it wrong, but they can't do anything about it. You know, at least in the NBA, and they review everything, but they go and they look at it, and they, for the most part, get it right. So I wish that it would get to that point with hockey, with football, with everything. I mean, I know the NFL, they're talking about they won't review pass interference again. I mean, it didn't really work the way that I guess they intended it to. It was just a knee-jerk reaction. But you have the technology. Get it right.
Really, what's so hard about it? That's what I don't get. Like, to me, this conversation right here is common sense, isn't it? How hard is it to communicate, to make sure? And I know Elliot said that they're doing a better job of communicating, but you've got the microphone. Why wouldn't you communicate to everybody in the building? I don't even understand that. Unless something's down, that's one thing. But too many times, it's basically a 50-50 proposition, right? Half of the crews or the head official, head referee will, but the other, you know, half the time they don't. And you don't understand why. To me, that's a no-brainer. Like I don't. That should be mandated in the league. And to me, the other thing is still common sense. It falls into the common sense category to me. It's like just you have the technology. You're already using the technology. Then go on and let it be used in instances like this. Don't put your officials in bad spots. Let the play stand and then turn it over to the benches or Toronto to get it right. I don't know what's so hard about that. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't either. What am I
missing?
I mean, I think I just think there's hesitancy on replay because, well, we don't want the games to be 3 hours. Well, if you do it right and you have the right people in place that are constantly watching for things, then it should be a quick process. I mean, I know it's a different level, but I like the way the XFL is using replay. They have a guy that's confirming plays and you get to hear it. I mean, what's so hard about that? You assign, you know, you're opening up jobs for people. Then you assign a guy to each game. Like, all right, yep, that one checks out. You're good. But the human element of it, I understand that that's there, but it's so fast and bang, bang, they're going to miss stuff. And then you're putting the officials in a worse position when everybody can see these HD screens that show that they got it wrong.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there staring at it too, but there's nothing they can do about it.
That is the other part. Like all these arenas, and Willie, see it firsthand. All these arenas, including the one here, have these big, beautiful jumbotrons that have great pictures, high definition. And it is like the greatest man cave in the world in the arena. And everybody can see it, and now it puts them even more in an awkward position. Because look what happened. What happened right after that? How long did the chant go on?
Refs,
it went on forever.
Yeah.
It was relentless for the rest of the game, and so you've put them in a really, really bad spot. Like, just help them out. Help them help you.
Right. You're never going to fix everything, though. There will always be some bad calls, and the lesson still has to be you have to overcome it. Some nights you're going to get
agreed.
The call. Sometimes you're not. No matter how much they do this, it's still going to be in there.
But can't you lessen the bad calls a little bit?
You can.
Helping them out? I mean, you're right. There's always going to be bad calls.
What if they had reviewed it and still said there was incidental contact with the goalie? We would have all disagreed, but they would have had to still move forward, right?
Well, then the storyline is, what set of eyes are you looking through? Like, that you could see that.
Yeah.
And come back with that decision. Like, how?
Right.
What are we missing here? You really looked at that? The same thing that we did, and you came away with that? So it's just, you're right. It doesn't change anything. It just shifts it to a different storyline or
right.
a different narrative.
Right. It can still be better. I would say this year they have had a lot less controversy, and the biggest reason is, why, do you think? Because you have to risk having a penalty to challenge. So you got to be sure. And if you're not sure, you're not going to challenge as much. Whereas if it was just risking your timeout, sure. You never know how it's going to go.
Yep.
So I think the league likes that. And I think the NFL eventually
will get to some version of that.
Yeah.
Do they they review every scoring play, right? Or do you have to challenge? Like the NFL reviews every scoring play, no matter what.
I don't know if I would say every play.
They should. That
in
my
goals that you don't need to review.
But if
something fishy happens, like did the puck go in or not? Yeah, they absolutely review that.
Right, but I think you eliminate some of this if you say, if you're like the NFL, we are going to review any time that puck goes in the back of the net. We are going to look at it. And you don't even have to stop the game.
Well, they do if there's anything in question. Like, let's say you shoot it and it hits the camera, the goal cam in the back of the goal, and it comes right out, and you're not sure if it hit the crossbar, so people keep playing, then they're looking at that.
Right.
They are going to review that.
But my point in all this, that even if there's a penalty called, they're still going to look at it. Even if the ref's standing there waving it off, I mean.
In other words. Yeah, so what you're saying, just make an adjustment to that.
Yeah, and you're almost building in an insurance policy for the official that.
But it has to be challenged, though.
But that's what I'm saying. I think it should be like the NFL. If the puck goes in the back of the net, the league is looking at it. The league is confirming that it was a good goal. The NFL does that.
I didn't think that went through.
Why?
What would change with that?
The NFL. As soon as the ball crosses the plane and the official is ruling touchdown, they're looking at it. And they're going, yep, confirmed. I don't really see what the big deal in all of that would be. Do you?
Then you're saying automatic goaltender interference. You check for goaltender interference on every single goal. How long would that take? That would take a lot of time.
Well, what are they doing in that room? What are they doing all night? I mean, that's what they're doing, right? I mean, all the screens, aren't they sitting there watching?
Yeah, but you have
all
to,
the games.
But you have to challenge for goaltender interference.
I guess what Chase is saying is, how hard is it?
Now they're already, because they're already doing it with, did the puck go all the way across the line, or did it hit the crossbar, or did it go up underneath the crossbar, did it hit the back bar? They're doing that.
Yeah.
It would just be a matter of what you would include goaltender interference and even offside.
I mean, just,
and that has to be challenged.
Just get it right. That's all I'm asking for. Just get it right.
All right, Willie, tell us about, and everybody out there, about Lee Company.
All right, Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Now, this is the last home game for a little while. The Predators are about to go on a five-game road trip after this one is over. But we do want to continue to point out that Lee Company is a proud sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. Their display is all over Bridgestone Arena. They're a big part of our radio coverage here on the flagship station, and they have done fantastic work for our household over the years because they're always on top of it with the home maintenance plan. Your heating unit, your cooling unit, your plumbing system, your electrical system. If you've got issues going on there, let Lee Company be part of the solution for you. 615-567-1000 or go to LeeCompany.com. They've done fantastic work for us. They can for you as well. So Lee Company, the saying is, Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Back here on Darren Donnegan Chase. Post Malone in the house last night. I would have liked to have gone to that. Perfectly honest.
But it was a good show.
I like his music.
I was busy with hanging out with a punter.
You were?
He was a cool punter.
Brett Kern, Smashville Live.
Yeah, that was fun.
But I hear that it was a good crowd here last night.
Yeah, we saw David Kells, of course.
Or Post Malone.
From the arena, from the Preds.
I feel like there's a show here every night that there's not a hockey game.
I think that's accurate. I think
it's not far off, is it?
No, not at all. Let's see. Because I bet you there's some. Well, Dan and Shay's here this weekend for two shows.
What, Friday and Saturday?
Yep. So I know a lot of people going to that.
Speaking of Saturday, let me throw this out, Chase.
Throw it out.
We're going to be at Walmart, 102.5 The Game, Walmart on Charlotte Pike in Nashville. That location is 7044 Charlotte Pike this Saturday from 11 in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Be out there giving away prizes and tickets to upcoming Predators games. Plus, Nash is going to be out there from 1 until 2 o'clock. While you're there, make sure to grab a limited edition of Nashville Predators Dr. Pepper 6-pack. Dr. Pepper, so nice to treat you. That's at Walmart 7044 Charlotte Pike in Nashville this Saturday from 11 until 2 o'clock. So I hope a lot of you get out there.
You know like who's going to be there?
Be a lot of prizes. Nash, I just said.
Well, somebody else is going to be there.
Who?
If not in the copy for some reason.
No.
So my representatives will be reaching out, but I will be there.
Well, you didn't make the copy, man.
No, that's – imagine that.
You didn't make the script.
Imagine that.
So let me revise that.
Behind the scenes.
Go out there and see
Chase. Keep it behind the scenes.
Chase and Nash at Walmart.
There you go.
Out on the west side of town, man. Everything's happening out in your neck of the woods, man.
I know. I like it. Come out to my side of town. Yeah, it'll be fun. So Nash will be there. I'm going to get him to cut a couple breaks, sit him in.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
It would be cool. Hey, this is Nash.
Spike Lee, not in the house last night.
He said he's done for the season?
He's done.
He's done.
Mm. He's done. Thanks to old James Dolan. Oh, what a piece of work he is.
Is he the next owner that's going to be forced to sell? Because he keeps making people mad.
Well, I don't know if you can. We were talking about this yesterday. What precedent is there that without a controversy that they've been able to tell an owner, get out?
Right.
I don't really know if there is one.
No, well, just...
That doesn't have something, you know, some type of controversy attached to it. I'm not talking about Charles Oakley controversy or Spike Lee controversy. I'm talking about like real like controversy that gets you in trouble.
Right. Yeah. Don Sterling, you know, got forced out, but that was the controversy
attached to it.
That was controversy, I would say.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit of controversy.
Yeah, he didn't know that he was having a conversation taped, but it got out.
Yeah, got to be careful of that. But yeah, I mean, if they could force silly owners out, the NFL would be looking for some new ones. And
who do you think would be, if there was, let's say, a list of five in any sport, a list of five owners, and the league said, whoever gets the most votes, we're forcing them out. They got to get out.
In all sports?
In all sports.
Good question.
What do you think the list, when the votes were calculated, what five franchises in sports would their fans or people, whoever was voting, who would they have voted out?
I have three, and they're all from the NFL.
Off the sports island. Who gets voted out?
Jimmy Haslam.
So, you go right to – I mean, to me, it's like – I feel like James Dolan is without a doubt on
Well, you didn't
list.
Ask for a particular order. So
no, I know, but you went there first, which is pretty interesting.
Well, the three besides James Dolan that I came up with are all from the NFL.
Okay. Snyder.
Dan Snyder.
You say Haslam.
Yep. Willie.
Well, Adam brought up Eugene Melnyk. I think you would get some Ottawa Senator people on board with that. I think it's when your own fans are the ones saying, we can't win well, as long as these guys are owning the team. I think that's when it really...
Okay, if that's the case, then wouldn't the Ford family be in there?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Think how long they've been in the league. They've done no significant winning. You just brought up winning. They've done
But are
no,
they hated, though? It's a combination of not winning and just not being very nice people or people that you enjoy being around.
I don't know if that's part of it, but I'm just saying simply...
How do they represent your team, right?
Yes.
If you represent the team with class, you can deal with a little bit more the losing.
Yeah, but what about the ones who don't represent in class, but they do a lot of winning?
I wouldn't call
it. Usually they rationalize being okay with them.
I wouldn't have said Al Davis was exactly the classiest individual in the world, but he did a lot for the league and a lot for the city of Oakland at the time.
He actually did a lot for the league. He fought the league.
Yeah, but
he gave the league, told them they were number one many times.
Well.
Said, I'm leaving without you, without your permission.
But he stuck around, and now his son has moved him to Vegas. So
I don't know. Is there any hockey team that would fit that category? I mean, you brought up Ottawa. I don't want this to come off poorly.
I
know it's going to come off poorly when I say this. Are there enough people that really care? I mean,
Canada?
Is it that bad? Ottawa?
I don't know.
What's Ottawa in the pecking order of Canadian teams?
Well, it's probably last.
Right.
But they're in the capital of Canada.
I mean, you just said it. They're the last in the pecking order of Canadian teams. And where are they in the pecking order of the NHL? Toward the bottom.
But they're in Canada, though. I it's a big deal up there.
Do they like Terry Pegula in Buffalo?
I don't know.
Well, you know people in Buffalo. Find out.
He wouldn't jump into the mind of the list of –
I mean, I don't know.
Out.
Like, I had to pull up a list of hockey owners because other than here, I don't know. I don't know all the owners. I mean, you know, like I said, my mind went to the NFL. Shad Khan would be another one. I think Shad Khan is not a very good NFL owner.
It's fair.
You know.
That's actually
– Who is it that owns the – The Jets, is it Woody Johnson?
I think so.
The Jets are kind of a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And have
I don't really know enough about them behind the, you know, what they're like to deal with. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, people.
Actually, you know what? This is a little bit harder than I thought. I thought it would be really
kind
easy
of fun,
just
though.
To.
It's kind of a fun discussion. Because people, like, for instance, Jerry Jones is a name that you bring up. Controversy, maybe the wrong word, but controversial owners or whatever. People go, Jerry Jones. Well, you know what? Jerry Jones is actually a pretty good
nobody's
owner.
I mean, you can't. That doesn't fly.
Jerry Jones has done – he has made some things happen in the league because he's a mover and shaker. You know, Jerry Richardson used to be that way, but he was a bad – you know, turned out to be a not a great person. So he's out. So he was one that ended up having to sell. You know, Kraft is, I think, a well-respected owner. When he's not going to massage parlors. But, you know, others that – Dan Snyder is the one that really comes to mind as one. Okay, not great. Haslam, Shad
Snyder's got to be on the list, man. The Redskins, their tradition, and then ever since he's taken over, is just terrible. He has been an awful owner.
You know, John Mara, Steve Tisch with the Giants –
No,
you know, they do a good job.
Yep.
Arthur Blank has done a fine job. Bill Bidwell in Arizona did a, you know, was
well, I would
well
say
respected.
Everything we learned about Jerry Richardson that
Bill Bidwell would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I brought that up.
Bill Bidwell would have been high on the list.
No
when he was in
question.
Louis,
Steve,
for sure.
Steve Bisciotti is well respected.
Well, St. Louis or Arizona. I mean, he was definitely been on the list for sure.
Yeah, I mean. Now, the Broncos are kind of in – Joe Ellis is listed as the trustee.
Do we think Ursa, Amy...
Ursay's crazy, but, you know, Ursay's done a good job, I guess.
I don't know. Haven't they been lucky with Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck? I mean, I don't know. I would say you could probably make a case that Amy Armstrong has done a better job than when Bud Adams on the team.
Yeah.
Her dad.
I'd agree.
Right? Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would agree. Especially
is that, I mean, I don't
when think... they've been here. But, yeah. Dean, what about Dean Spanos?
He would get a lot of votes.
He would get a lot of votes. He would get
I think
a lot of
the San Diego faithful would.
He
have
would
him
definitely
on the
get
right
a lot
now.
Of votes.
Stephen Ross, Miami.
I don't know. He did all the renovations.
Yeah.
But you're right. It doesn't. They do. They don't seem like they're a well-oiled machine, or they know what they're doing.
Yep.
It's interesting. All right, we'll come back and wrap up Thursday's edition of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Speaking words of wisdom, sell the team. 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 Whisper words of wisdom, sell the team. And when the brokenhearted Knicks fans living in the world.
All right, what are we in for tonight? Red Star.
Are you listening to this?
For though Jim thinks it's all fine, there is still a chance that he could see there will be an answer. Sell the team.
Where did you get that from, Elijah?
This is from The Ringer. They made this last year after the Charles Oakley incident. A bunch of Knicks fans that work for The Ringer. It's a whole music video and everything. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wow. Wow. How could you have a franchise like that in the biggest market in the country at Madison Square Garden and be that dysfunctional for this long? I mean, just to be an utter right. – I mean, when you hear dumpster fire.
Rudderless ship.
Just a pile of poo. That's what they are. Just floating. It's like Shawshank Redemption. They're just – crawling through the pipes. And we remember what were in the pipes.
Yeah, not good. I did. do you want to hear something that is good?
What's that?
I have good things. The Nashville Sounds have donated $100,000 to Music City, Inc. to help aid tornado relief. The Rangers, Minor League Baseball, the Pacific Coast League will also be adding additional funds. So as we talk about sports entities that are doing their part, the Sounds that were affected. I saw the scoreboard. Doug Scopel, that we all know that works with the Sounds, posted a picture, and the guitar definitely did get some damage.
That's what I thought.
So, but it was on, and it said had like a message on there too. So, but they donating some money, so pretty cool.
That is great to hear. And I want to—I meant to ask Adam what his final count was, but we'll get that out in pregame tonight. So, Willie, tonight, Preds, Stars,
gut check. We had this discussion a lot yesterday, the day after the Minnesota game, and you know, a couple days after the Edmonton and Colorado losses.
By the way, Taylor Swift, I just saw, has donated $1 million.
Yeah, how about that?
Tornado relief.
Yeah, there you go.
But three losses in a row, all to teams that I think are quality, are playing quality hockey right now. I don't know if all three will end up in the playoffs. You know, I hope the Wild don't make it because that really decreases the Predators' chances of making it if they make it. But the Wild are playing well. And if Nashville doesn't bring winning hockey to the table, they're not going to make it, you know, especially against good teams. Maybe you can beat the Ottawa Senators. You know, you can eke out an injury-ravaged Columbus team. But you consistently have to play better, like they did against Calgary. They played a much better all-around game. And they played okay against Colorado. They played okay in the second half of the game. Second half of the game when they were chasing the game against Minnesota, I saw some of the elements that they're doing when they're playing well. But it can't be for 40 minutes. These next two games against Dallas, it'll be no different. Dallas is going to bring winning hockey to the table. They're a team that could do some damage in the playoffs. And Nashville has got to match that intensity, that attention to detail, that sustainability through 60 minutes. And they've got to have some guys make plays. It's just, you know, it's not that difficult, but it's, you're still searching.
Right.
And over the next 16 games, it's got to be there every night. You're not going to win every game, but you can bring your best to the table every game.
We will certainly talk about it tomorrow to wrap up the week. You have a great rest of your Thursday on this beautiful day here in Music City. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.